Most people live what they believe. If they don't, it takes an awful lot of energy to do that. But some people have trouble living what they believe because they don't know what they believe. When you really get down to it. So at Daleville Christian Church, we claim our faith each worship service. Today's affirmation of faith is from Ephesians chapter 2. He, Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. The reading of God's word for today is from James, letter James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. We're grateful at Daleville Christian Church that we are able to place the weekly sermons on the website for people to hear, to download, and to hear again. But we also want to make sure you have an invitation to be in a worship service and to hear the word live and in person. You are certainly welcome, if you're in the area, to stop and worship at Daleville Christian Church Sunday mornings, 9:30. But in any case, make every effort to be in a church of Jesus Christ. Mother's Day Sunday today, begun 110 years ago by a woman named Anna Jarvis. Now, let's make sure we know how this happened. How did this happen that we celebrate Mother's Day? Because Anna Jarvis was a member of a church. It was a church woman, a follower of Jesus Christ, who wanted to honor her own mother, who also was a follower of Jesus Christ. So do we understand that? Mother's Day began as a Christian thing. Eventually it grew, and although Mother's Day is not celebrated in every country in the world, Mother's Day is celebrated, maybe not on the same day, but on six continents, and even in Antarctica, I will bet anyone that someone in Antarctica calls their mother on Mother's Day today. And as someone in the congregation said, they'd better. So Mother's Day is celebrated on the seven continents of this globe, all begun by one Christian woman. That was 110 years ago. Church has changed since then, hasn't it? Society has changed also in 110 years, has it not? And motherhood also has changed. At least in the United States, motherhood has changed a lot. I am certain that my mother and all her friends and churchwomen believed, even 80 years ago, that they knew what motherhood was, what mothers were supposed to do, and even believed that mothering was natural. Not easy, but natural. There were some technological changes for even my mother. Take formula feeding. The first non-powdered formula went on the market in 1951, soon after formula feeding became the norm, and moms were encouraged to feed with formula. We have now come full circle, and I thank hippies and the environmental movement. I think they had a lot to do with it. Moving back to breastfeeding as better for baby. But how about hospital births? I remember being mesmerized by the older people in my family and in my church who would say that they were born at home. I was born in a hospital, and so was everyone I knew. Now, some people want home birth. And if you'd like to get into an internet fight, just go online, make a strong case either way, birth at home, birth at hospital, and you'll get all the fight you want. Especially if you're a guy. Hospitals continue to evolve and compete for hospital births with single rooms, rooming in options. My son Thomas's hospital gave a sweetheart dinner for the parents the evening before they left the hospital, and Deb and I enjoyed a steak dinner. My point is that mothering has changed since Anna Jarvis's day. I'll return to this theme in a moment, since I have now have two daughters who are now mothers. That makes me an expert, right? Well, at least I'm as close to an expert as a man can get on modern mothering. You can say these two words to young American mothers today, and they will all know what you are talking about, and the two words are mom guilt. Mom guilt. And mom guilt surrounds almost everything that moms do today in America. Do I go back to work? How soon do I go back to work? How long do I keep nursing? Why do I feel like a failure if I can't keep going on just 4 hours of sleep each night? My house is a wreck. Some moms wrestle with the issue of inoculations or an organic diet. All young moms in America know mom guilt. The Church of Jesus Christ can help set priorities, but I will get to that. Clearly, having children and being a mom are as old as humanity, and if you're an evolutionist, mothering goes back to our simian roots. I myself move closer to believing in evolution because I had a niece who was a chimpanzee. But I don't really want to talk about it. But talk about a throwback from the evolutionary chain, my family knows all about that. Apes, chimps, and monkeys have undergone serious medical and biological study for almost 100 years, both in the lab and in the wild. One thing we discover is that mothering is not natural in all cases. There are documented cases where monkeys, even in the wild, having given birth, did not then mother their infants. Now, in a separate, different species, Deb and I were surprised to learn that eagles will hatch 2 to 3 eggs in the nest, but the eagle parents will only allow one chick to survive. That does not match any modern human being's idea of good, natural parenting. I'm suggesting that having a baby and mothering are two very different abilities. I believe that we see plenty of this in American families today. Many have suggested that the breakdown of society and the family have contributed to antisocial behavior, delinquency, gangs, drug abuse, and violence inside and outside the home. I'm reminded of that old joke as the police are called in the middle of the night to the school to find a high school youth defacing property or tearing up a schoolroom. As the police apprehend him, he shouts out, "But society's to blame." And the policeman says, "That's all right, we'll be arresting them also." The point is certainly made that motherhood and mothering have new and different challenges in America in the 21st century. Having said that, the Bible is clear that parenting can and should be the work of the Church of Jesus Christ. James 1:27, "Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans in their distress." I wasn't sure I'd need to remind you that orphans and widows in the ancient world were the poorest of the poor, having no one to help them financially. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans in their distress. That's a heavy statement, is it not? Let's look at some other versions of that verse. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans in their distress. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans in their affliction. Pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless in their affliction. And I don't think the Amplified Bible is at any kind of stretch when it reads that verse this way. Pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts, in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit and look after the fatherless in their distress. Caring for orphans, looking after orphans, these versions make clear that strictly financial aid for orphans is not enough. And modern child development theories would agree with that statement. Life, leadership, and service to God is more than financial stewardship. Pure faith requires caring, loving, even parenting when children are the ones the church is serving. The Bible also claims the Heavenly Father over and over as father to the fatherless, protector of orphans. So the church is imitating the Heavenly Father when the church parents children, particularly children who have no parents. The Church of Jesus Christ has a long tradition of building orphanages and hospitals for abandoned children. Even the leaders of the church may be found among the believers who know how to be good parents. We read in Titus chapter 1, "An elder must be blameless, faithful to his wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient." That's a tough verse, or it has been a tough verse, since many men are encouraged to lose themselves in their work, and the church encourages pastors to be working all the time, at least working all the time for their church. I know more than one child, the child of a pastor, who grew up hating the church. Why? Because the church robbed the child of a father. I was determined this would not happen in my house. And I am blessed to report that all of my children still participate in a church as believers and followers of Jesus. I give God the glory for that. Now, my children were pleased, but not every church person was pleased. Hear me. My children were pleased, but not every church person was pleased. I've also known a couple of non-professional church people whose children felt that the church robbed them of a parent because of their parents' dedication to the church. That is not what Jesus or the church really want. But parenting is different now. Dads are supposed to be involved. Just look at the number of sports coaches or political figures who have refused to continue for the purpose of spending time with their families. But again, the Bible point is that good parenting is supposed to be modeled by the church, for the community, and especially for the benefit of the children, all children. The God of the fatherless who will be parent to the orphan, or even literally true, the God to the fatherless will be a father or mother to a single parent household's children. Because God's word says, even if your mother would forget you, I will never forget you. It's not a verse we like to bring up on Mother's Day, but it's there in God's word. God will be mother if mother forgets. And the God of the fatherless wants his church to serve children as parents, especially when children have no parents and the parents are absent. Here's the kicker. We know, or we certainly believe and read and hear stories all the time about how God's presence in your life in Jesus makes every difference. God's presence in your life through Jesus Christ makes a difference in your life. What we also know is that Christ in you in a child's life also makes everything different. Christ in you and you in a child's life makes everything different. Christ in you in a child's life makes everything better for that child. I've read a lot of books by formerly troubled men, troubled teens, criminals, many who found new life in Jesus Christ. And they can point to Jesus' followers in their lives somewhere along the way who made a difference to them. So that when Jesus was spoken of, there was something in their memory that connected with Jesus and love and care because they had known someone who served as a Christian parent to them in their life. One woman who is able to be a foster parent and has adopted two children says it this way: the most rewarding part about being a foster parent is seeing how proper care and love can help the children grow. I saw sick children and children constantly afraid that they would be hit until love helped those children grow. They come to your house afraid they're going to be hit when punished, and they then learn to love and trust you. Even if they do not stay long in your house, when they leave, they will take the love and trust with them. Let me read that again. She says, even if they do not stay long in your house, when they leave, they will take the love and trust with them. The article states that potential foster families should not worry about loving the foster child too much. In fact, they say, love is what the child most needs. I don't think I'm stretching to say that any church of Jesus Christ should already know how to love others well. Any church of Jesus Christ should already know how to love others well. The followers of Jesus should be more practiced at loving than any other people in the world. Don't you agree? That makes Jesus' church the answer to many children's problems. I'll say that again. That makes Jesus' church the answer to many children's problems. If the church can communicate and convey that love to the child, convey that love to the children. The church needs to do that for its own children, but the Bible's call is to love others outside the church as well, love other people's children also. Even as I'm aware of individuals for whom church people with Jesus' love made a life-changing difference, I also have heard and read about children growing up in church who learned almost nothing about God's love in Jesus Christ. How could that be possible if a church claims it wants to follow Jesus? James says, you want to know what the Lord wants? This is it. You want to know the will of God for the church? James says, the will of God is at your feet. We need only stoop down and love them, or scoop them up in our arms and love them. This is what the God of love wants. This isn't rocket science, but it can take determination and long suffering, like the father to the prodigal son. Even Jesus said to the disciples, as Jesus was preparing to leave the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. A religion that is pure and stainless according to God the Father is this: to take care of orphans. Amen.